Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, it's me, your friend.
Your speakers.
I'm in the car, I'm in your ears, I'm in your house. All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's Freaky A to Z podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Todorovic, joined by my co-host, Dr. Matthew Barton. We are on the letter A, and today we are on the term anabolism. Just so people know, if they've only just started listening, we go to the back of anatomy and physiology textbook, and we've torn out all the pages. We didn't have to, but Matt decided it was appropriate.
It's the index. Actually, I did do it in one book.
Tore out the index, and we're going through term by term, A to Z.
Maybe we should have done the glossary.
Yeah,
a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, because
we'd be at P by now.
I think we've done like 200 episodes and we're still on A, but I think people are finding this useful, hopefully. So anabolism, let's do it.
So this is one half of metabolism.
Metabolism,
How would you define metabolism?
Oh, here we go. I actually had this conversation with a colleague at work because we were talking about, we're delivering a series of metabolism lectures maybe in about 7-8 weeks' time to our med students. And we were talking about sort of what fits under metabolism. I would say, and this is without looking at an accurate definition, metabolism is the sum or accumulation of both production and breakdown events that occur biochemically. So biochemical events that can result in the production or breakdown of molecules involved in...
Is it just energy?
Energy. I would say energy.
Yeah.
But we know that many amino acids, for example, are produced through anabolism and are utilized not just within energy production but within growth and development. So, and we know that hormones, like thyroid hormones that affect metabolism, don't just affect energy levels but also affect growth and development. So I would say metabolism probably would include growth, development, and energy.
Yeah, okay.
And is the sum of both the
breakdown and
build up.
So today,
what do you think?
Yes.
Do you have a definition?
No.
Jeez, we're great, guys.
But I think it's pretty good. But today we're only looking at the build up. So right. Build me up, buttercup.
Okay. I haven't heard that ad in a long time. Americans aren't going to – oh, no, that's a song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of the butter ad that we had in Australia. No, the bread ad.
Bread.
Bread, Wonder White. Was it Wonder White bread? Was it bread called Buttercup?
Buttercup.
Does that exist anymore?
No.
I haven't seen Buttercup for a while. Buttercup.
Good on your mum.
The name
that was
of
tip
the
– top.
Buttercup was also the name of
– your cow.
The female – lead character within one of my favorite movies of all time. What's it called? don't know because you've probably never seen it because Matt never watches movies, A Princess Bride.
Oh, I do.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and my kids won't watch it because it's too slow for them.
Yeah, I watched three quarters of it and I got sick of it.
Did you you watched it as an adult though.
Yeah.
You got to watch it as a kid. It's great.
It's difficult to do now. Now, today we're focusing on anabolism. So the term itself is derived from anabole, maybe? Anabole?
Maybe.
Well, I don't know how to pronounce the – so it's Greek.
Yeah.
But I don't – anabole doesn't sound like a Greek term.
Anabole.
Anabole.
Yeah.
Which means to
– anabole.
To throw up, not as in vomit, but to build up, a mound. So ana, upward or up, ballon, to throw. Okay. So it's suggesting just processes that make simple things more complex.
All right.
Okay.
So anabolism building up.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. So when we look at anabolic reactions, I know we did anabolic steroids, which is, again, hormone steroids that allow tissue to get bigger in size.
Yeah. And specifically or generally, anabolic steroids are referring to skeletal muscle tissue.
Right. Now, for these anabolic reactions in metabolism, they could be falling under the category of saccharides. So this is where you would join monosaccharides together to form a di or polysaccharide. You would do the same with amino acids to build up a protein. That would be a form of an anabolic process.
Yeah.
You could do it with fatty acids. So you add a fatty acid or three fatty acids with a glycerol, that will give you a triglyceride.
So can I give you the terms that we use for these?
Yeah.
So go back to the start.
Okay, so the saccharides.
Oh, you said saccharides, yep. So that's called glycogenesis.
Yep, so that's specifically for animals, the production of glycogen.
Yep.
And that's the example that I'll use today.
Okay, and what was the next one?
Amino acids to proteins.
Yep. So protein synthesis.
Yep.
Yep.
And then glycerol and fatty acids into triglycerides.
Lipogenesis.
Okay. Yep. And then nucleotides into polynuclear chains.
That's a good one. DNA synthesis.
Yeah. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the main anabolic reactions that would take place. Part of our metabolism.
Yeah.
The hormones that regulate this process.
Photosynthesis.
Yeah, that's in plants, obviously.
Oh, we're not plants.
We're not plants.
I keep forgetting that.
Yes.
Why do you keep watering me then?
So the hormones that play a big role in anabolism.
Yep.
We have growth hormone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's released
It's a good one because its name tells you what it does.
Pituitary gland.
Yep.
So it will play a role.
Anterior
play a role in bone lengthening and density, but also muscle development.
So if I took a lot of growth hormone now, I get bigger?
Some parts of you will.
What does that mean?
So some parts of your body, because you got to remember, particularly bones, all your bones, because you're over the age of 25, all your growth plates are closed.
Okay.
So you're not going to get lengthening of long bones anymore.
What's going to happen then?
You get growth of tips of bones. That's where the term. So bone tips, which is.
So
pronounced. Agromegaly.
Agro or acro?
Acro. Acro.
It's not agro's cartoon connection. Which again,
we're doing a lot of Australianisms today.
Yeah.
So
like a brow ridge?
Brow ridge, jaw, fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm not going to take it then.
But if you were to have it before puberty,
You
would get gigantism. So you just keep growing and growing and growing.
So growth hormone, excessive growth hormone exposure before puberty versus post-puberty, or at least before bone closure and after bone closure, has a different term.
That's right.
Acromegaly for it happening in adulthood and gigantism in infancy or childhood.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I mean, I knew that. But
so that's growth hormone. Then we have insulin-like growth factor.
Oh, yeah, IGF.
Yeah, IGF.
There's a multitude of those.
We have insulin,
which
is the one I'm going to focus on now.
Which bodybuilders also take, and if we refer back to our last episode.
Do they take insulin or insulin growth factor?
Yeah, I think it's insulin growth factor. But again, I don't know. I'm talking outside of my wheelhouse. I ignore everything I'm saying, everybody.
And then testosterone and estrogen also being anabolic in nature.
Yes.
Okay. So let's focus on the saccharides and let's focus on the hormone insulin.
So we're focusing on sugar molecules.
Yeah. So you've
why?
Just-
Why?
Well, this is going to be part of your anabolic portion of metabolism,
okay.
What your body would do in response to this situation.
Right.
So let's say you just had a meal.
Yeah.
Meal with carbohydrates in it.
Okay, I had a burger.
Okay, you had a burger, so that's the bun portion.
No, I didn't have the bun. I don't have the burger with a bun.
You just have meat patties as the bun.
That's it. I have two meat patties with a meat patty inside, and I say, hold the cheese, tomatoes, and lettuce.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So I had three meat patties.
Slabs of meat.
Yeah.
Well, you
which
need
was
to
my nickname in high school.
You need to have some degree of starch-like products here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's get a bun to this particular example.
Okay, so I had a cheeseburger and I said, I want four buns.
Okay, very good. So you've had it, you've eaten it, you digested it. Go back to our amylase episode and you can see chemically how it's broken.
How good are we at referring back?
Yes.
I mean, it's only because we just remembered them because they're the last two episodes, but still.
That's right. So as you are breaking down this.
Go on.
Was that your phone?
It's my phone. It's my bad, everybody.
So anyway, the carbohydrates getting broken down by the amylase in your small bowel and slowly the sugars, the monosaccharides, let's just call it glucose for this time point, is getting absorbed across your intestinal wall into your blood. So your blood sugar levels are going up.
Yeah.
As a result, insulin is released.
Yeah.
And insulin is a anabolic hormone.
It is.
Okay. So what it wants to do is build up. And kind of wants to do two things here. It wants to get the sugar out of your blood and kind of bring it back to the homeostatic level.
Because
let's say 4 to 6.
People don't realize that it's not good long term to have too much glucose floating through the bloodstream.
Yeah. Causes long-term, a lot of
acute, it's fine.
Causes a lot of detrimental effects to a lot of tissue.
Yes.
So another effect of insulin is it will go to, because you've had other things in your meal, so you've had fats and proteins, so your blood is also filled with amino acids and fatty acids. And so it will go to fat cells and say, hey, fat cells, prepare yourself for some fatty acids coming your way. And it will start to snap those together and start to load the fat cells up with triglycerides. It will also tell skeletal muscles to soak up the extra amino acids and make some proteins. And so it's pulling all this stuff out of the blood. But in terms of the sugars, sugars is also building up. And one method, it can store the sugars for later because glucose is such a great molecule for making ATP. And so in the liver at least, what happens is all this sugar gets taken up into the hepatocytes and it's starting to go down glycolysis.
The pathway of glycolysis.
And so it's going from glucose.
Yeah, keep going.
Through to pyruvate.
Oh, no, there's a couple of steps.
Down. There's like 8, 7. Doesn't matter. Outside today's episode. Yeah. So it goes through this pathway, then goes into essentially the mitochondria and does the Krebs cycle. But the take-home point here is the cell becomes highly energetic, full of ATP. So that then, through certain mechanisms, builds backwards and it gets to the point where it doesn't want to bring glucose through this glycolysis anymore.
The ATP production is a negative regulator for more ATP production. So the ATP basically says, whoa, 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 don't feed any more into this pathway. Let's store some.
Yep. And so what it does now is once it gets from glucose to then glucose 6-phosphate, it says, hey, we're at this point now where we don't want to make any more ATP. So let's shoot this molecule, glucose-6-phosphate, off onto something else that we can store for later. And in this case, this is going to be glycogen.
Yeah.
And so really all that's going to happen now in the liver, but this can be also happen in muscle, is it just snaps glucose to glucose to glucose
like
to glucose.
Like Lego blocks.
And this is to the 1-4 ends of the glucose molecules.
Yeah.
So 1-4, 1-4, 1-4.
Which we spoke about in amylase, because they're the ones that amylase break. Chops up.
So it builds a bit. But yep. You don't want to just have, like, think of it like if you were wanting to grow a tree,
yes,
and keep it really dense,
mm-hmm,
you don't want it just to grow one big trunk.
Why not?
Because it hasn't got a great deal of area, surface area of leaves or size. So what you want to do is you want to branch it off into all different directions. Right? So
I suppose.
So what happens with glycogen is you have these branching enzymes which push glucose off at different points, and this is going to be done at the 1-6 points.
Right.
So as you've moved down 4 glucose points, then you get a new branch off, and this is at a 1-6 ratio. But the take-home point here is...
How do we chop the 1-6 off?
Well, we'll get there. So this is just making glucose into a more complex polysaccharide, which we call glycogen.
Yep.
And this is stored in the liver and in your muscle. And this is put there for when we get into a fasting state,
mm-hmm,
that we can break this down back into glucose. And this would be then called catabolism,
yep,
to be then utilizing glucose for a later date.
Gotcha.
Now, so that's the anabolic point of glycogen.
Yep.
Glycogen will be stored to a certain degree in the liver for something like 12 hours worth of energy,
mm-hmm,
and muscle.
Depending on the...
Yeah.
Yep.
And the muscle will do the same. So now we go to... Is that okay?
Yeah, that's anabolism.
That's anabolism.
Yeah.
So now we go to a condition,
all right,
that can go awry with
anabolism,
glycogen in particular. And so there's
Are you stretching this out? Are you thinking that there... Because we're doing anabolism. Are you tentatively, very weakly associating a condition with anabolism?
Probably a little bit, yeah.
So what's the condition?
Well, the condition's called glycogen storing disease, storage disease.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair, because it's basically a glycogen anabolism.
Yeah, but to be honest, once you get into this, there's a lot of subtypes to this disease. All right,
let's talk about it. So glycogen storage disease. So you just spoke about how glycogen's stored.
Yeah.
Right? So glucose snapped together to form glycogen, but there's a couple little offshoots to make it look a bit branched, and this is predominantly happening in liver and muscle.
Yeah.
So what is this disease?
This disease is really a problem with either catabolizing or anabolizing glycogen in the body. Right. Okay? Probably from what I've come across, there's 15 subtypes of this disease.
Right.
Okay, so there's kind of 15 different types of what goes wrong. But in most cases, it's more to do with the breakdown of the glycogen opposed to the building up of it.
All right.
But a lot of it has to do with inherited problems with the enzymes associated with making glycogen or breaking it down.
Right.
So you need to have enzymes to snap all these glucose together and branch them, but you also need enzymes to break them back down. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so an example here would be if you can't, when you're trying to break the glycogen down back to glucose, if you can't break the branching points, which would be a debranching enzyme, then you have problems breaking down the glycogen completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so any enzyme that's not cutting them up to give you the glucose, you're going to essentially develop like hyperglycemia.
Right.
Particularly in a fasting state. Yes, so and ketogenesis, that's right.
So it's basically you've got all the glucose you need and even stored because your insulin's fine, but you can't utilize it. So in a way, it will mimic diabetes without the rise in blood glucose. It's just a hypoglycemic.
Hypo, yes.
Hypo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But then because there's not enough glucose available, then you would undergo ketosis, I assume.
Yes, you do. That's right. And then they can get hyperlipidemia. That's right.
Right. That's interesting.
Because they're trying to get energy from fat.
Oh, that would be confusing because somebody would be presenting similar to...
And it is confusing because if you go through all the subtypes, the certain different enzymes are different. So you're going to get slightly different problems.
And I assume if you give them a sugary drink, that they'll be able to utilize that for energy straight away.
That's right.
But if it's too much and it's stored in excess because the body thinks I can use it later, but it can't, then that's the issue.
Yeah, and then sometimes symptoms go away just after eating.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come on in the fasting state.
So my assumption would be they'll have to space out their sugar or not have large boluses of sugar.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure all the treatments. That's right.
Oh, how interesting.
But then we go to the differences between liver and muscle.
Yeah.
And the big difference, and I'm sure you know this, is once you're reversing this reaction of glycogen back into glucose, the liver can do it all the way back to glucose.
And drop it in the bloodstream.
But muscles can only get to the glucose 6-phosphate.
Yeah.
And it can't do the glucose 6-phosphatase. It doesn't have that enzyme.
Oh,
right. So it only has glucose 6-phosphate.
So what's it do with that? Turns it to...
It just puts it back down its glycolysis to make ATP for itself.
So it never stores it. So the muscle never stores it.
The muscle will store glycogen, but when it's trying to reverse it to make glucose, it doesn't go all the way back to glucose. It just gets as far as glucose 6-phosphate, and then it will push that down glycolysis.
So that's what it does anyway.
Yeah, but what I'm saying for liver... Liver can reverse it all the way to glucose, and then you now have glucose in the liver and it just pushes it out into blood for the rest of the tissue.
So what's the condition doing this?
No. I'm just saying normally the muscle, this is why the muscle is seen as selfish.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's not the disease. So
that's what I thought, because I'm like, this is just what normally happens. The muscle is selfish with its own glucose. Absolutely. So this disease... The storage disease, does it all? You said there's so many subtypes. Do they all present?
No, differently.
Okay.
They're all differently. Yes. Some are more to muscle, so you start to get myopathies in some, weakness in muscles and not liver.
Yeah.
Some in both. Some depending on the type of enzyme.
So they're basically totally different conditions, but they're all just centered on a issue with storage of glucose.
Yeah, storage or breaking down.
Yeah. Well, that, Matthew, was a very nice summary of anabolism.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.